Welcome to the ACO Show. I'm Josh Israel, joined as always by Sean Cavanaugh. And Sean, our guest today, Ritwik Tiwari, Alidade's Chief Technology Officer, and Rosemary Weldon, Alidade's Chief Product Officer. Fun conversation. I learned a lot. I'm always learning a lot here at Alidade, and sometimes it's fascinating and sometimes it's painful to realize how little I know about what it means to work at a health company, at a tech company. I still remember one of my very first meetings at Alidade. I was presenting something and somebody asked me what the ROI was, and I had to write down in my notes ROI to remember to go home and look at it that night to understand what an ROI was. And so you've had a ton of healthcare experience, but as I understand it, not a lot at a tech company. What's it been like for you here so far?
I think I was right there with you, Josh. Being in business, first of all, being in a startup, and as you say, being a technology-focused startup, was a totally foreign environment for me. In the interview, you specifically asked, Rosemary, what does product mean at a company like Alidade? And I remember asking that question several times when I first got to Alidade. And frankly, it took a while for it to sink in what it means. So I'm constantly learning about the technology world, the startup world, and the business world here at Alidade.
All right. Well, we hope you will all learn something about this too. We now have the pleasure of being joined by Rosemary Weldon, Alidade's Chief Product Officer, and Ritwik Tiwari, Chief Technology Officer. Welcome to you both.
Thanks for having us.
Rosemary, can you explain what you do at Alidade?
Sure. So my team here at Alidade includes several different functions. I have our customer research team, our user design team. You might have heard that called UX, our analytics team that really helps to tune our programs and measure results, our practice implementation team that actually gets practices set up and integrated with our tech and our tools, and our product management team.
All right. And how about you, Ritwik? What do you do here?
Yeah, I lead the technology org, which is composed of the data teams and product and security teams. Like, so if you were to break it down, the data teams would be responsible for getting the data, organizing it, then harnessing insights out of it using AI, and then reporting on it using business intelligence. And the workflow, product workflow teams build all the amazing things that Rosemary's team dreams of to get to our practices, patients, or our field teams. And the security team ensures that all the data that our practices, patients trust us with is kept secure.
All right. Well, let's start with a basic glossary here. Rosemary, what exactly is product?
Sure. Yeah, it's hard to define many things in many places. But in the software development world, product managers are really the people who take business and user goals and actually translate them into requirements for functionality that can then be built, right? So we get the dreams, as Ritwik said, into a level of granularity and specificity that can actually be coded. So you can sort of think of, between Ritwik and I'm more major in the what we should build down to specificity, and Ritwik really majors in the how we should build them.
So Rosemary, can you make that tangible if, for example, one of the practices that we work with is listening? When they hear, well, Rosemary is responsible for product, what are they experiencing that came from your shop?
Yeah. So we're really thinking through what are the things that we need? What are the actual capabilities that we need to add to our technology to let our practices do a thing? So a good example might be in one of our most used work lists helps practices figure out which patients need to be scheduled, right, for various reasons. And today, or prior to this functionality that we deployed, they had to call every single one of those patients. And that obviously takes time, and sometimes they don't get through the list. And so we wanted to enable those practices to actually text the patients, right? And we wanted to let them have the ability to select which patients were textable, right? Some, they know their patients, some of them that's not going to work, and some of them that works really well. And so, you know, we took that from an idea, tested it with our research team, designed what the workflow would look like, and then implemented that. And that's now live for practices.
Ritwik, I know you did not come from a healthcare background, so I'd love to hear about how you landed at a place like Aledate. And do you feel like being a chief technology officer is the same everywhere? Or is there anything really unique about healthcare that you've found?
Oh, they're two very different questions. Like, how did I end up in healthcare? Let me address that and the CTO role. And in healthcare, I think so, like, there are three things that were there is, what are the big problems that we face as a society? And health is one of those. I think so, as you grow older, your parents grow older, you start emotionally attaching to it a little more. So big problem that I can emotionally relate to. The second thing that, like, if you don't come from healthcare, it's all like a black box. When I talked to Aledate, like, it, the approach, which was put in one line, good for people, good for practices, and good for society. That was appealing. You wanted to be a part of that solution. I didn't fully understand it. I understand maybe 20-30% of it now. And lastly, it was the match. Like when Farzad was our CEO, talked about the opportunity, he said, like, he's looking for someone who'd help build the best in the class technology and the organization for the long term. Now, that is something that I'd done in my past life. So I think so the combination of three meant that there was enough to go from putting all my energy to making a lot of people wealthy. That was my previous role to some extent, to shift to a lot of people being healthy.
Rosemary, unlike Ritwik, you do have a background in healthcare, but my understanding is you weren't always involved in product. I think you spent more time on the business strategy side. How did you make that shift? And what is having spent time in strategy, how's it influence what you do now in a product world?
Yeah, definitely. I actually, similar to Ritwik, you know, I came up through business context, largely in consumer goods and retail. And I think a lot of us, you know, conclude that we're going to spend a lot of time and a lot of effort and passion in our work, and decided that I wanted to focus that energy on something more meaningful. And that's really what got me into healthcare, and specifically value-based care, which I think is just a wonderful balance of actually being able to have a clear business framework, right, with clear measures of success, but, you know, really netting to something positive. So my background in more on the business side of the house is incredibly useful every day in how I approach the work, you know, in all of these areas, whether it's, you know, you know design or analytics or Scrum team capacity. We have finite bandwidth, right? We're always going to want to do more than we're going to be able to do in a given time frame. So, you know, we really have to make smart choices. And I consider that really the heart of my job. And to do that, we have to get to really deep understanding of how we generate value as a business, from understanding things like our contract structures and our quality gates, but also understanding how much value we can generate from helping our users, right, do more work and do the right work. And so I really love that product and tech in the world that I'm in now is right at that intersection of the what and the.
Rosemary, we've been talking a little bit of an overview of technology and product. Can you speak to some of the specific things you've done here that you think are making a difference? What are you proud of from your work here so far?
Yeah, I point to one of the things that we've done over the last year is really build out the capabilities we have to support our patients in medication adherence. So I came to Aledate most recently from CVS, so I spent a lot of time thinking about prescriptions and med adherence, and it's quite a puzzle. It's a hard thing to support patients in staying adherent to their medicines, but it's one of the most proven ways of improving patient outcomes. And so we had a program that would help supplement what practices did, but we didn't have any technology, and we were, you know, doing this in a way that wasn't easy to scale. And so together, our team partnered with our clinicians and our pharm techs and our business stakeholders, and we built out a much more sophisticated platform for the outreach team to use for live outreach that was connected with our application, right? So we can actually be very transparent with practices about who we've spoken to and what the status is of their patients. and actually rolled out a number of texting programs for medication adherence as well. So really proud of the work that we've done to scale up that program.
Ritwik, earlier in this conversation, you mentioned the phrase artificial intelligence. And it's very timely because recently the United States Senate held a hearing on the issue of artificial intelligence in healthcare. And one of the senators, Senator Whitehouse from Rhode Island, specifically asked the witnesses, what is the role that artificial intelligence should play to help ACOs improve care for Medicare beneficiaries? So I have two questions for you. One, what is artificial intelligence? And two, I'll repeat the senator's question. What role does artificial intelligence have in helping ACOs like Aledade's improve care for beneficiaries?
I think the best way that I would describe artificial intelligence is an ability to learn and codify from priors. Looking at everything that has happened, being able to synthesize that in a way, and typically that you can think about it in what is called a model, that you can give it new prior, new scenarios, and it would take all the things that it has seen from the past and react to it. It's a very, very naive or very, very simplified view of what I would say is AI. We can go more into what is AI, what is ML and all that, but I think so, like, we can use that as a way to think about how does it apply to healthcare and VBC or value-based care in particular. I think it comes down to is healthcare has got a core challenge that people, it's not about people don't know what to do. They are busy. If the phrase that I heard in one of the practice visits was, the doc described themselves as task man. I was like, okay, task man. It's like, I'm busy from one task to another. I went into the nuance of it. You talk to nurse practitioners, the same thing. And the second challenge is that if you can reduce some of these tasks, then can you change what is being done? So if you are busy with too many things, either you can get more efficient in doing it or make fundamental changes that you don't need to do the same number of things. Currently, what I would say is the first one, which is efficiency is within reach. So where I would see AI being applied is either prioritizing who you work on or making it easy to do so. That would take the form of either directing care or care assistance. Like directing care would be is like, who is the most need of an intervention at this point in time? And care assistance could be is there's a lot of work that can be assisted. Like, for example, what are the relevant charts that I need to support to file this diagnosis? That can be done in a snap and automated. And those are the places where AI can help right now. Equity will be a crucial challenge. And I think so the next frontier, Sean, from here is if we can change what we need to do. And for that, I think so we are at least a couple of foundational breakthroughs away. And if you were to think about like ChatGPT is one foundational breakthrough, no one would have predicted that it was coming in the year that it came in. We need a couple of more to get to the other one. It could be in a couple of years. It could take a decade. And we don't know.
There's a lot to do in healthcare, obviously. My job primarily before I got to Aledade was as a clinician. And it's pretty straightforward. If you're in an ER, what the next thing you need to do is. And I'm still learning about prioritization, how that happens at a place like ours where there's a lot of people and where there's almost an infinite number of things that could be improved in the healthcare system. So Rosemary, can you talk about how you do prioritization for all the things that come across your plate?
Yeah, this is a big part of what we do in product management. We're always trying to seek a balance between specific capabilities and features that have usually near in return, right? With building out platforms, right, that take longer, but eventually will let us deliver more use cases. And then, of course, longer term investment in things like technical debt and foundations, right? Which every tech company has. And so that balance is hard to get exactly right. So we spend a lot of time, you know, Richard's team and my team, we work closely with company leadership to make sure that we're looking at technology investment across the company's key result areas to make sure that we have good alignment of the relative amount of investment that we want to make. And then we actually take that work and break it down into the scope and the balance between that, you know, the feature work, the platform work, and the platform work that we want to target for the year. And then we actually, and this is more recent, are doing much more disciplined quarterly planning. And there's nothing magic about a quarter, but what we're finding is that by taking that very specific period of time and pointing to the work that we want to do, evaluating that work, really getting under that work, it's forcing us to make better choices. And it's forcing us to prioritize and sequence in a more clear and transparent way than we've been able to before. And so prioritization, I would say, is a continuous part of our job, but what we're trying to do is protect the team from that being a continuous part of their day-to-day so that they can actually get more time to focus on the work.
You talked a lot about technology, and I assume this is mostly software technology. And so I know you supervise a lot of software engineers at Alidate. More commonly, when you think of software engineers, you think of them going to work for Facebook or Google or a gaming company. Some of these you're familiar with. What are the type of software engineers that come to an Alidate instead of one of those other companies? What attracts them to Alidate, and what makes one successful at Alidate in that field?
Sean, this is a very important question, and you've got two, actually, I think. So like there, so let me answer the second one first. That I think the many engineers who are working at big tech, an area that I've worked in, like about two decades, Microsoft and Facebook, they're just not aware of the challenges, of the technology challenges that lie in health. It's inaccessible. It feels like an alien land. No one has broken it down to them. No one has provided a bridge to go ahead and say, this is how what you have done in the past would apply over here. And this is how you can go from optimizing clicks to actually impacting lives. So I think if we can build that bridge, a lot of that would happen. And I think so, like, if I were to look at like my time and pick the proudest moment, it would be is to be able to bring that bridge between people who have been in these big tech companies and bring them together with people who have got deep domain experience with health tech. And I'm hoping that combination creates some magical outcomes. To your second question is like, what kind of people succeed, Sean? This is a question that anyone who's doing a lot of hiring, this is a question that you face with every interview decision. So this is a question that I've thought a lot about. Things are distilled it down to a simple term that I can always remember is it's ABCD. And all that it means is, that can you build allies? Can you break down walls? Can you challenge assumptions? And then can you deliver? I think so that applies to so many places. And one thinks about these is like very complex set of things, but I'm giving a one critical thing on like one thing that I ask for in interviews is, what are they proud of? And what I'm looking for there is not so much of the outcome. Because see, when I was there at Facebook, there is a rising tide. I'm going to reach a billion people no matter what I do. Actually, more so than the outcome, it was the process. And I'm looking for, did they challenge assumptions? Did they know the assumptions at that point in time? Did they go ahead and work their way through the resistance? Did they build allies in doing so? Or were they just going ahead and headstrong towards things. So I think so that ABCD, if I were to say, is what makes engineers successful.
Rubik, if somebody joins and does not have healthcare experience, are there specific ways that they can learn here?
I think there's a value that we have, curiosity. I think it is, that is what gets it going. If I rewind back about more than a decade, 11, 12 years, I had no idea about advertising. I spent like 7, 8 years doing that. At this point in time at Alidade, you've got, I think, so the collection of like some of the most learned people or like experienced people when it comes to either health technology, health policy, health strategy, and they are all very helpful. So if you're curious and are willing to go ahead and ask and reach out, you can learn. It's a complex domain, so you won't learn it in 6 months. If you're willing and dedicate like years to it, you would. So I think so the tenacity and that curiosity, those two things would go a long way.
You know, it occurs to me, there's another thing the two of you have in common, which is you both came from very, very large organizations to a growing, but relatively pretty small organization. I think where Alidade is about 1,500 employees. What's that adjustment been like? Did you find more freedom here? Did you find less support here? How's it been? Start with Rosemary.
Yeah, I love that we can generally figure out the right few people that need to be in a room here and make decisions more quickly and come to alignment. That's a little harder as we scale here at Alidade, but I think, you know, we're investing a lot here in clear swim lanes and clear ownership. And I think that's a really wise investment to do at this scale. And we'll, you know, pay dividends as we get bigger and bigger. But that's one of the most pleasant surprises that I've had here.
I've oscillated between big, small, and I like doing that. Like the difference here is, I think the amount of surface area that you can touch if you are willing is just insanely huge. Like it is limited by you and not the process, not the ownership, not the box that was drawn for you by some org chart because there are 15 other people doing that. That I think so is the biggest difference, Sean, if I were to look at the Meta or Facebook where I came from was imperfect in its own ways. And I think so we as a growing company are imperfect in our own ways. And it's exciting and challenging to solve those. But I think so that the first point on what all you can actually move is the biggest difference for me.
We've talked about some of the things you both have done here. How about things we're going to do? Rosemary?
We have so many exciting things ahead of us. I'll point to a couple. We're very good today at taking in just a vast amount of healthcare data, right, across 100 plus EHRs, multiple integrations, getting lab data and all sorts of information to then run predictive models on and really digest this for our practices. The next evolution will have us actually taking some of those insights and getting those out of just our application and actually integrating those in the electronic health records or EHRs that our providers live in every day, right? And we will have a big unlock by being able to actually be on that screen. That's importantly what's up in the office when you're sitting there with your provider. So I'm really excited about the investment that we're making with EHR integrations as our next phase. And I'm also really excited, you know, I came from much more patient-facing work. And so I'm really excited about the ability to expand even further into direct patient outreach and potentially even getting into workflows and jobs that patients can easily get done with a little bit of technology. So excited about building that out as well.
How about you, Ritwik? What's coming?
Well, see, given we are two sides of the same coin, of course those two would be exciting. But let me add on to another one is that, see, farm techs like and pharmacists, like we are working towards getting them what I would say is the first step of some of the best piece of technology to help us as patients adhere to preventative medications. And if you were to think about this and a parallel is, see, we've built technology, like, or technologists have built the systems that are highly effective to sell you and me stuff we might or might not want, But when it comes to medications that we need, we don't have as amazing of systems to be able to do so. So we're taking the first steps to going ahead and improving and laying the foundations of getting the med adherence systems to be at par with what our advertising and marketing systems in the world look like. So that is exciting. It's a long journey. It's the first step towards that.
Rosemary Ridway, if someone's listening to this and thinking, geez, I really want to go to Alidate and do this work with these folks, how would they get in touch with you?
First thing I'd say is check our website. We've got a lot of open roles, actually, both product and tech. So we would love to hear from you.
Listen to Rosemary. That is one. The second thing is reach us, hit us on LinkedIn as well. I go ahead and I don't look at it every day, but I try to do a batch processing every week and connect through. The simplest and the fastest is go to our website. If you have something special to, like, say, reach out, send us on LinkedIn as well. We can go through from there.
I love that. Sean, do you call your to-do list weekly batch processing?
I have a scratch pad with little check marks.
All right. Well, Rosemary Weldon, Chief Product Officer at Alidate, Ritwik Tiwari, Alidate's Chief Technology Officer. Thanks so much for joining and educating us.
Thank you so much.
The ACO Show now has a mailbag. Submit your questions or episode ideas to acoshow@alidate.com. This show was produced by Leanne Horst, Alana Coogan, Rebecca Raymond, and Stuart Taylor. Check out more of our show wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.